listening to New Soundwave, episode 10. This is actually
again.
This is actually the second recording of episode 10. The first recording happened weeks ago, and the sound quality was so awful we didn't go with it. So,
and we actually killed the show for it.
Yeah, it was so bad we killed the show. But due to popular demand, we have brought New Soundwave back.
It's not popular if you're the only one who wants it back, Brian.
Okay, so in this week's show, what do we have? Okay, Rob, hot off the presses, Rob just told us that they are doing Mega Man 10, which is the greatest thing ever. I'm very happy to hear that Mega Man 10 is coming out. Mega Man 9 is great. I have not finished it yet. One of our regular panelists, Chris, has, and he is not here. So,
of course.
It's a hard game to beat. It probably knocked him out.
Yeah. I mean, going back and playing the 2D Mega Mans, they are so hard. I finished 2, 3, and, like, 5, but that's pretty much it. They are very rigorous. Castlevania games are much easier, and unless you're playing the first one, because it's not that easy. But for the most part, you know, the game since the Metroidvania style games, which have been around since Symphony of the Night, they're actually pretty easy, but they're fun to play. Let's see, what's going on with you guys? Anything fun or new in the general sci-fi gaming world since we last got together?
No.
World of Warcraft.
Nah. World of Warcraft patch, huh?
Woohoo!
Is that what your wife's doing right now?
No, she's at work, but we would be. So, yesterday, saw the release of WoW patch 3.3, which will be the final major patch release until the next expansion, which is Cataclysm. So this patch features finally getting to face the Lich King. It features a three-part story crawl for the five-man dungeons. So you have to complete the first dungeon before you go on to the second, then the third. And epic stories, awesome new gear. And an interesting new quest chain to get a really nice sword item. So, new stuff, really cool. Of course, patch day yesterday was chaotic, as patch days usually are. So,
the news that came out about the guy in Korea or wherever he was that actually did every single possible quest. So he did that on the pre-existing version and not on this one.
I think I know what you're referring to, which is there's a guy that completed every single achievement in game. So that doesn't mean he's necessarily done every quest, but it does mean that he spent a lot of time doing every achievement, because there are a lot of achievements in game, and some of them are really hard and obscure.
And we can guarantee you he has had sex 0 times while playing.
Well, who would have the time, you know?
Probably. Yeah, yeah, I mean, well,
with a person.
Some of the stuff you get to opt in for some of the achievements. So they just added the achievement system, I think, with the Wrath of the Lich King when that came out. So there are some of the achievements that come prior to that for things that you have done before that, and the system had already kept track of those things. So some of the stuff, this guy may have already been opted in for those things. Now, not disagreeing, the guy probably has not touched a woman, but
or a man, you know, we are open to all lifestyles here.
It's possible, you know. But I mean, that is pretty incredible. I mean, I have a decent number of achievements on my character, but I know that there are some that are totally insane that would be really difficult to do, and I'm completely in awe of someone actually having both the time and the dedication to do all of those.
I'm a little disturbed by it myself.
But, you know, some people get really excited about this stuff. I mean, it's added a whole new level to the game. And if you have Xbox and stuff, I know there's a lot of achievement-style stuff on there. But it's really, I mean, there are people that just, I mean, that do like that. They spend all their time trying to get achievements. So, well, it's crazy.
Well, you got to, even if you're never going to duplicate what he did, you can at least say, it is possible. I mean, how many people is beat Pokemon? How many people beat Pokemon? No, they just sit in battle after a few badges. But you know what? You can do it, and here's proof, you know?
Yep. Yeah.
Absolutely. There you go.
Nerd.
Anybody picked up anything cool?
No.
The only thing I've picked up is I do have new Super Mario Brothers on the Wii, and it is pretty awesome.
I really want it that. Now? I just haven't yet.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's basically you take Super Mario Brothers 1, Super Mario Brothers 3, and Super Mario World. You put them all together, and they have a baby, and it's new Super Mario Brothers Wii.
So what you're doing is taking some old parts from Super Mario Brothers and also some new parts, and you put them together and make new Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, that's basically it. Now, there are, you know, I mean, it's... There are some aspects from Super Mario World, pardon me, Mario 64, like some of the ways that Mario is able to bounce and grab things that they take in. But level design and everything, it's pretty much Mario 3 and Mario World. It's really fun. It's really fun. It's really pretty. One problem I have with it's... It's all basically a gigantic in-joke. It really doesn't take away from the complexity of the levels, but the levels don't take themselves seriously, which, you know, I guess after Bowser stealing the, you know, kidnapping the princess, you know, so many times over the course of the last 25 years, you know, it is kind of funny when he does it. But Super Mario Brothers 3, especially when you get to the later couple of levels, it's like, oh, this is a big deal. Bowser has, you know, kidnapped the princess again. Well, so far in New Super Mario Brothers Wii, it's like one big joke. So,
since I understand the Koopa Kids are back in it.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, how do they handle it? Because the last New Super Mario on DS, it was just basically it was Bowser Jr. being the main bad guy, and occasionally Bowser would pop up. How do they handle with the kids? Are they like focal points or just bosses and that's it?
Yeah, well, the kids have shown up. I'm only in the first few levels, but it is the kids. They've shown up, and they are basically like a boss of each world. And
right.
Yeah.
I want it so bad. I just haven't gotten around to getting it yet.
You want it so bad you can taste it?
I want it so bad. It drives me mad.
Okay, so, okay.
Burning me.
Okay, so nothing really else going on in the news. I am not up on comics since we've not been doing New Soundwave. New Soundwave was the reason we wanted to do this show. It's because the things that we are into, it really kept us honest and on track with them. So I have like completely not read any comics, but I do know the last time I read it that they had killed Kyle Rayner.
Yeah.
Bummer.
Does that mean that the comics are not compelling for you right now if you needed New Soundwave to motivate you?
I need motivation to get up in the morning. I mean, just having a job isn't enough to do it. I need motivation for everything. So, I love comics. I love science fiction. I love video games. But darn it, if I'm pretty much going to sit around and either work on web stuff or work out in the gym if I have idle time. So, I don't have enough time in the day to do everything I want to do.
I should do the workout in the gym thing. That would be good.
Yeah, you need to get back to watching Headmasters.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's see here. I guess pretty much we just did the Radio Free Cybertron where we did our holiday buying guide. It was really structured. We had a blog post and everything. But for this year, nerd-related stuff, what do you want for Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or whatever other fake
Festivus.
Holiday? Festivus. Speaking of fake holidays,
where's my aluminum pole?
Has anyone here actually celebrated Festivus?
I know people who did.
I have.
Yeah.
There's a Festivus pole and everything.
Yeah. I know ATS2 used Festivus as their term for Christmas because they still wanted a new Sega Genesis, but they didn't want to actually do the whole Christmas thing, and they didn't want to be like, look, we're totally not going to take your stuff, but you know what? That Seinfeld episode was really funny.
But what are you guys looking for? What would you guys want?
Wii.
Really?
I don't have one.
Wii.
Like the only one that doesn't have one.
Mr. PS3 wants a Wii? Wow. I feared you'd be like, man, F that thing. I got little Big Planet.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Yeah, I feared you'd be like all hardcore about it.
Well, I mean, why do I want a Wii? Because the classic gaming. I mean, that's basically... I want to play all my classic Nintendo games.
I was up till Wii's release, was like, you know, I got my 360. I don't care. I'd kind of like a Wii, but I can wait. And then I played it. I was like, oh, my God, I got to have it. Now I'm like, my 360 collects dust, and the Wii just like, it shares a bed with me. I put it next to me in bed. It's like the best thing ever.
I don't play my Wii like I would like to, but I did end up getting a bunch of virtual console games yesterday. I spent way too much money on a Turbo Duo RX several years ago and ended up selling it on eBay for about what I paid for it. But so my copy of Street Fighter II Champions Edition as well as Fighting Street went bye-bye. But Nintendo was nice enough to put those up on virtual console recently. And I was able to pick those up as well as, even though this is the worst part with Virtual Console is when I buy games that I already have and can play. But I wanted to play Street Fighter Alpha 2 on the Super NES, which I have in cartridge form, and I have a Super NES hooked up. I still yesterday bought it, and I'm a sucker.
Yeah.
But it's all in one location, and the emulation for the Super NES is so perfect. The NES emulation is so great. Genesis emulation is so great. N64 emulation is better than the original console. Of course, TurboGrafx emulation sucks.
but it's more most people got to play a TurboGrafx-16.
I've had two American consoles plus a Japanese. I know TurboGrafx-16, and I have, you know, so I
yeah.
If you want to play TurboGrafx and you want to do it, you know, like the best possible way, Magic Engine, the emulator, is basically the PC Engine / TurboGrafx-16 version of the Wii's Virtual Console. The emulation is perfect. It's actually better than the original game, and the interface is great. So, but otherwise, Virtual Console is like the Mac Daddy when it comes to emulation. I mean, the pixel mapping and everything is perfect. So if you try to play like a PC on your television for like MAME or whatever, you'll notice that the... either the resolution or the aspect ratio is wrong, or you'll get black borders. The great thing about Virtual Console is that it looks perfect on your television. So, yeah, classic gaming is great on the Wii, except for the fact that Nintendo kind of has forsaken the Virtual Console up until recently.
One thing.
So perfect. So it's a good time to get it, right?
Yeah, I mean they've brought it back. And if you don't have one, it really doesn't matter because there's so much. I mean, there are hundreds of games in the Virtual Console. Going back to the is the ColecoVision or the
Coleco's on it.
Yeah, I mean,
oh wow,
yeah,
Ladybug for the win.
Yeah, so and XV has his modded, so he has access to everything.
Two people know what that game is.
Thing is, if you plan to play TurboGrafx-16 games on your Wii, you should really do it with that Classics controller instead of just a remote. Because that way you have the turbo buttons like you did on the old TurboGrafx-16.
You actually have to have the Classic controller for a lot of the Virtual Console games?
A lot, but not all. NES, TurboGrafx, both are totally playable with the Wiimote.
But if you're really going to do any heavy-duty Virtual Console-ing, you really need to have the Classic controller anyway.
No, Wiimote is perfect for NES games. It's just as good. The shape of the controller, while it's longer, it's just dead on.
And that's the way you do it with like you were saying. I got my mod. I've got an NES emulator on there, and that's how you do it with that too.
But if you're gonna play Super NES, yeah, you definitely want the Classic controller
or Nintendo 64
or probably
Genesis too.
Most games on the Genesis do require the Classic controller, but the one game that I play, which is Ghouls and Ghosts, it only has two buttons anyway, so you can use the Wiimote for it.
Right.
One thing, if you do get the Classics controller, go ahead and invest a couple of dollars in that Nyko little add-on for it, so you can wrap the controller around the back of it and don't have to like have it sitting around in your lap or something.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It adds a grip, but that's kind of useless.
No. What is that? I'm not familiar with that attachment.
It's a Nyko mix. You can get it at any GameStop. It usually costs you about $5. Uh-huh. It adds a control grip to make it a little bit more not so super NES-y, PlayStation-y.
Okay, super. In my opinion, the super. In my former opinion, the Super NES is the greatest controller of all time.
Yeah, that's if you want it just a little bit bigger, the grip's great for it. But what makes it good is there's a little clip, you know, on the back of the controller. Yes. It's got those little holes. Well, you put this clip in there, and what it does will hold the remote for you and gives you a place to wrap the cord up. So you just got it in one unit in your hand. And you don't have to worry about fishing the remote around if you pause to get up. Or
it's kind of like having a Wave Bird.
Yeah, it makes it much more convenient because that remote, those wireless controllers have really spoiled me in a few years they've been around. You know, I grew up with that big old Atari brick with that giant cord across the living room. but now a foot-long cord on my lap with a Wiimote is just out of it. Oh, God.
That sounds great.
That's a good idea.
Okay, so...
You wish you had a foot-long cord on your lap.
Way to go, XP. Way to bring that one down.
I'm old school. It goes across the room like an Atari.
Okay, so we said for those of you who don't have a Wii, you want a Wii for Christmas.
Especially since the price has come down.
This year I got my first, even though I don't have HD, I got my first Blu-ray player for Christmas. I'm pretty excited about that. So the price,
that makes a whole lot of sense. Blu-ray is just worth so much when you don't have high definition TV.
I have semi HD. I have projector.
You have ED.
Yeah, it projects somewhere around 720p.
Well, that's HD enough, then.
It's HD enough. But DVD upscaled looks about exactly the same as Blu-ray. But the thing is, if Blu-ray is the disc format for the future and near future, it's worth it to have it now so that I don't have to rebuy DVD Blu-ray later instead of, you know. So my mother-in-law was able to get the Samsung Blu-ray player for us for $150.
Wow. That's pretty good.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, it's got the USB port on the front, so I can play DivX or XVid through that, so like my DVD player has. Totally worth it. I mean, prior to that, I was kind of considering a PS3, but I couldn't really justify the $300 price tag because I already have a game console that I play. But this has completely negated the need for that. So,
You know, if you like an inferior gaming system, sure.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the PS3 guy I was expecting.
Yeah. That you were like a minute late with that, JD.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
So, Blu-ray. So Blu-ray would be something good to have if you don't already have it. What else are you guys looking for? Any type of portable media devices?
You know, I already have a DSi, but I really suggest it for people to get one over their normal DS. So that's a pretty good one. Yeah, I use my DS daily, okay? The add-ons are really that useful. I mean, Flipnote Studios, which is a free download, is fun. And I can play with that thing for hours, and it's free. Or the camera, yeah, that's kind of stupid. But you know what? I'm a sucker for those little add-on gimmicks you see at the Walmart, like the little styluses with the character hanging off or something like that. They have like a little zoom lens you can snap over the front of it to make like amazing pictures. It's so much cool.
So when I suggested to my cousin that she get the DS Lite over the Eye because the Lite was so much cheaper and, you know, there's really no value to the Eye, I was totally out of line.
Well, not just that, but it's starting up next year. DSi only games are coming out.
Yeah, how many of those will we have?
It's going to be a slow trickle because Nintendo's smart enough to know as many DSs are out, it's a bad idea to rule them out for a while.
Well, I mean, Nintendo had like the Game Boy and the Game Boy Color out at the same time, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know that there were more than just a couple of games that you had to have the Color for.
Except that the original Game Boy and the Pocket were really tail-ending when the Color was introduced. They didn't actually coexist for all that long.
Yeah, Game Boy Advance pretty much flew out a couple of years later.
Yeah, but the color was not really even a stopgap. I mean, the Color, I think they sold the Pocket was only around very briefly. They had the original, then they had the Pocket, which was out for just like, you know, less than a year.
Pocket was out for a few years. I remember there being several different styles
But the Pocket itself, the Color was the same form factor as the Pocket. and the Pocket wasn't out that long on its own. Then they had the Color. But there weren't that many games that you had to have the Game Boy Color for. I mean, I can't even think of one off the top of my head.
Pokemon Crystal.
Okay. I didn't play Pokemon. I'm one of those people.
I didn't play Pokemon Crystal either, but I remember that it was a... It did require the Game Boy Color.
Which is, of course, brilliant on the part of Nintendo to do, because, of course, Pokemon sells consoles.
Except it was the third version after Gold and Silver, and those don't usually do quite as well as the main two.
Yeah. One thing to think about also with a DSi, if you really want one and you want to wait past Christmas, coming to spring, there's a new version of it coming out that's extra large, like the size of a book. I'm not kidding.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that on an earlier show.
Yeah, it's got a book reader on it, too. So, like, if you wanted a Kindle.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, it's got a book reader. That's the draw to it, is they're kind of aiming it more for the older crowd who has a hard time seeing the professor training or whatever. But it's got a book reader in it. I think the regular DSi is going to have it too, but really, do you want to read it on those little screens or a big screen? So it's like, how many devices do I need normally can I cram into one thing?
Well, see, that's a good angle for Nintendo to go with this.
Yeah.
In making if they can do the stuff well, make the DS a really widely multifunctioning device more than just the video game.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing. I mean, the DSi has an AAC player. If they just... made it MP3 playable. What's stopping it, really?
And really, all they need to do is add a decent cell phone function to it, and they'll have the N-gauge totally beat.
They'll never add they'll never add that.
Yeah. As we play this, like, 2 years later, and it's
you make PictoChat work across the internet, and wait till you go to an anime con.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they're eating those $5 Pockies and talking little scribbly things to each other.
Oh, my God.
Okay. What other big ticket items are we looking up for? Zuzu pants?
I'm going to shoot those with Nerf darts.
No. I mean, what are the big games for this, holiday season? I mean, what's out?
Are there any?
Mario Brothers, Modern Warfare 2.
That's pretty
shit. Was there a new Halo? Oh,
it's ODST.
That came out.
That's been there, done that.
I think most of the games that were supposed to be the big holiday releases got delayed until like first or second quarter.
Spirit Tracks for the DS. Does that come out before Christmas?
It's out now.
It's out now. Yeah, definitely. That will probably be a huge seller.
Yeah, and it looks great as far as Cartoon Link goes.
Do you have to play with the stylus like you did with Phantom Hourglass? Because I hate that.
Yeah. It's another stylus-driven game. Which But no horsey. Link on a choo-choo train.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that just makes it so much better.
No,
train has a cannon, you see. That's cool.
Combat train. That's
combat
nice.
You don't have to gallop up and whip somebody in the head with a sword. You can get them from a distance.
Combat training, like Gradion from WebDiver.
And I was just thinking, too, maybe the next Zelda can have, like, the robot train.
That the next one might be futuristic, right?
Really?
Yeah, but isn't it supposed to have, like, flying or something, the next one?
Well, at first they were saying the next console Zelda was going to be in, like, a sci-fi setting. But apparently there's enough backlash from that they kind of backed off, that they say it might be in a more modern setting, which might be Spirit Tracks with the train. I don't know.
I don't know. A sci-fi setting worked for, what was it, Jason X?
The best scene of Jason X is when they try to confuse him with the virtual reality. And the girl offers him pot. The topless girls offer him pot. That's so great. And he just he puts them in the bag and beats them against a tree. Jason X is so great.
Jason X is great because it's like, if you want a Mystery Science Theater style watch it, you can do it alone.
Yeah,
it makes fun of itself with you.
Basically. Okay. Anything else for the holiday season?
Your mom.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So this isn't really a good holiday season to be an adult. the crap out is like Zuzu pets and stuff like that.
No, it's never a good holiday season to be an adult. The holiday season is expressly for kids.
Yeah.
Screw that. You're only a kid for like 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. We're pulling it off quite a bit longer ourselves.
31 years.
Yeah.
Okay. well, you know, we only have like 5 minutes left in the show. Let's go ahead and we didn't get to talk about this a few weeks ago, and I really want to. John told us about this, and I was excited to see it. Turtles Forever.
Woot.
It's the best movie of 2009.
Yes.
And it's all for one little 15-second sequence in the movie that's the best thing ever.
Where the Mirage Turtles are calling out Shredder.
Yes.
Yes, that is the best scene of anything ever.
And the fact that you knew that without us having talked about it ahead of time just proves that
cements
I'm right about
it,
that.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much, especially after going back and reading the Mirage comic where that happens. It's just
perfectly suitable.
Yes, it's fantastic.
It's almost exactly right.
Yeah, they nail. I mean, I really want to say that they did like a bad job with the 80s Turtles, but no, they pretty much nailed that too.
The 80s Turtles were kind of exaggerated, but you know,
yeah,
it was in the sake of comedy.
Yeah, they're exaggerated for contrast, if anything.
Right.
I mean, I
mean, the 80s Turtles were, at least compared to other parts of the show, they were kind of serious some of the time.
When he was needed, 80s Donatello came through. And mm-hmm. I mean, that's saying enough. The modern Donatello said, well, no, that's not possible. How are you going to, you know, warp dimensions with a stick? He did it.
Yeah, and the only real stumbling point was that, of course, they could not get the original voice actors.
Yeah.
Well, Uncle Phil's got better things to do.
Like what?
Like rise from the dead.
Like sit on those fat, fresh Bel Air earnings he's still getting from every episode. It comes on every other hour on some channel.
Isn't he dead? How many years has he been dead, though?
Is he really?
Yeah.
I
didn't know that.
He dropped from a heart attack, like, I don't know, 4 years ago.
James Avery died?
Yeah.
James Avery,
sure.
Oh, well, that would explain why he didn't come and do Shredder then.
Yeah, that's his excuse.
It's not like
I mean, it's kind of like why Chris Latta didn't start doing Starscream again.
He didn't? I'm kidding, okay. So, but, I mean, yeah, the scene at the end with the Mirage Turtles, pitch perfect. The fact that Leonardo did the narration of everything they did, that was beautiful.
And that everybody else could hear it.
Yeah, I mean, okay, for the two people out there listening who don't know, the 80s Turtles were the Mirage Turtles were a take on Frank Miller's Daredevil and the X-Men. And Frank Miller's Daredevil always includes, like, an internal monologue narration. And you could feel them channeling Frank Miller in a humorous way, semi-humorous way, with Leonardo. And it was great! I mean, pitch perfect. I can't imagine them doing a better job with this than they did. And we're getting the actual full uncut version of this on the web, XV?
Yeah, on the 16th, the 4Kids TV website is supposed to be putting up the full uncut length. What they actually had to do was cut 12 minutes out to fit for commercials and the time slot they had. So actually they will be putting the full version of it online.
Even though this has been on television for free, it will be on the web for free. I would buy this on DVD or Blu-ray in a heartbeat.
Which I guess will never happen.
Yeah, it's the most satisfying movie I've watched all year. It's not been a great year for movies. I mean, the best movie I guess I saw otherwise was what, Inglourious Basterds, and I wasn't blown away by that movie. I absolutely loved Turtles Forever, and it came out of nowhere. I mean, it really shouldn't have been the best movie, but it was.
I didn't get it. I guess I'm not really a Turtles fan.
I love the 80s Turtles. I mean, I
guess that was my
Shredder.
I when I watched it, I realized that I was too young when Turtles came out, or I didn't pay enough attention to it.
We're the same age.
Well, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. It's like either I was too immature, or I wasn't watching it in the same way, because I certainly I didn't remember the 80s Turtles being that bad. So,
well, as I said before, they were exaggerated to some degree.
Like Chris pointed out in our conversation, our briefing after it aired, the later seasons of the Turtles, they were pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, the series degenerated, definitely, especially when it hit CBS. Yeah. Also, hey, breaking news, James Avery, still alive.
Oh, that's great to know.
Still alive.
But all he said, James, you're listening outside. For not facing Shredder.
He just didn't want to do it. No, I want to sit here and watch my reruns of Jazz and me throwing Jeff out that door. Goodbye, Jesse Jeff.
Okay,
is Master Shredder. I need to speak it to Yam.
New Sound Wave is the show where we aim for 30 minutes. We are over our time limit, so let's go into
Sudden
Death. Let's go into Sudden Death. Real quick. Big Bad Toy Store.
Oh, yes.
Check
out Big Bad Toy Store. They are our sponsor, and we love them. We were going to talk about favorite Christmas movies. Let's do that.
Well, we talked
about
Jason X for a minute. That's good enough.
Yeah.
That's a good Christmas movie.
Yeah, it totally is. Totally is. And one more bit of news. XV, you are working on a new podcast. You're trying to put that together. What are you working on, my friend?
Well, I don't know. It's still so early in the development. I don't know if we should talk about it yet.
We are working on a new podcast, which XV will lead into the future, and it will be the future of Radio Free Cybertron. So more on that as it develops. Guys, do we have anything else?
I can spoil XV's podcast for the crowd. Avon products.
Yes! JD is working on Mary Kay podcast. It's going to be great!
Yep. The makeup fandom is going to be so stoked, guys.
Okay, guys. Well, if we don't have anything else, I will talk to you all next week.
Peace. All right.
Thank you, guys. See you then.
Represent.
Right.